Peak Wealth Management proudly presents Finding True Wealth with Nick Hopwood, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we help our clients make sound financial decisions, which ultimately puts them on a path towards their definition of true wealth. Now, here is your certified financial planner professional and founder of Peak Wealth Management, Nick Hopwood.
Welcome. Welcome to episode 45 of Finding True Wealth. I'm Nick Hopwood, president and founder of Peak Wealth Management, and today I'll be joined by Jim Pilot, who has just joined Peak as a member of our team. So it's getting to know Jim day. So I've known Jim for 4 or 5 years. We met through New Hope Center for Grief Support. In the past, we've had Kathy Clow as well as Rick Gutterson on the podcast. So Jim is a board member at New Hope, like I used to be. So that's where we met, and over the last few years, we've gotten to know each other pretty well, and we decided that, you know, it was a natural fit, as Jim was an advisor at another company, LPL, which is where we used to be as well. So we had a lot of things in common, and it seemed to just be a natural fit. So let's welcome Jim. Jim, tell us about yourself. Welcome to Peak.
Thanks, Nick. I'm happy to be here.
So, you know, let's get to know you a little bit. Let's learn about your family.
Yeah, that sounds great. I am married for 15 years to my wife, Emily. We have 3 kids, 2 girls and a boy, Allie, Riley, and Brett, who are 12, 10, and 8.
And what does your wife do? She's a teacher?
Yeah, actually she did just go back to teaching. She teaches third grade over at Northville Christian, and that was something that she just got back into. We were fortunate enough to have her home with the kids while they grew up, but a great opportunity presented itself for her to get back involved in the classroom.
Outstanding. We have a third grader ourselves. Jack will be hitting third grade this year. So tell me about your background. I heard that, well, if you haven't seen Jim, he's very tall. How tall are you, like 6'3"?
Yeah, 6'3".
6'3". So naturally, as a 6'3", with that nice height, you're a basketball player, right?
I do play basketball. I've played in the past, and still try to play in some open gyms when I can.
I think Emily told me that you had a record at your high school, right? Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yeah. I went to Southfield Christian High School back before they were a dominant basketball team that they are now, but I did have a short time in the record book for scoring 33 points in a game.
Wow.
Impressive, right?
Yeah, it is.
The best part about it is my son, who's 8, is really gotten into basketball, and he's determined to go to Southfield Christian because he wants to be the one to bump me out of the record book.
Nice. That would be awesome. As a father, that would be quite a moment.
Right.
So what'd you do after high school?
After high school, I went to college locally for a couple years over at Oakland Community College, but then made the jump over to a small school south of Chicago called Olivet Nazarene University, small little Christian school over there.
And then after you got your degree from Olivet Nazarene,
yep.
Tell me about your work history.
So right out of school, actually one of the very first things I did was apply for a position at Dean Witter. I was going to be a stockbroker.
I never heard that until now.
Yeah, so I went in and talked to a guy there. I just popped in kind of cold and talked to a guy there and said, you know, I love this stuff, right? I grew up, my dad was big into stocks and saving, and it was something that was really exciting. So I thought I'd go in and check it out, and the guy brought me in and says, yeah, he says, well, the way this business works is if you got rich family and you're good at dialing the phone, you can make it one day.
And what year is that?
That was 97.
Wow.
Back in 97.
Yeah.
So, it seemed like something I wanted to do, but it really kind of turned me off right away because it was all about calling, selling. Yeah. And there was really no thought behind the client, right? And trying to help them make good decisions. It was just about trying to find some stock to sell somebody.
Trying to make a sale.
Right.
Yeah.
So I didn't end up going into the business. I actually, at that point, went into the field that my dad had been in for years, which was medical publishing. He was a sales rep for a medical publisher, and an opportunity opened up with a competing publisher, actually, but he kind of took me under his wing. And I worked for a competing publisher right alongside him, and we went out together and I learned that business.
Nice. So how long were you there?
I actually did that job for 15 years.
So for 15 years, but I want to go back to the Morgan Stanley story, because imagine if you had been introduced to, you know, someone who was more holistic, mm-hmm. rather than call, sell. Mm-hmm. You're drawn to this industry, this sector, this profession, but you had a bad impression from one conversation. Mm-hmm. Imagine how it could have been different just talking to someone else. You ever wonder about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I often think about what it would have been like to get in much sooner.
Yeah, what if you, instead of meeting that guy, met up, you know, someone who has a more holistic planning mm-hmm. approach?
Yeah,
interesting.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So how did you circle back and then get back into financial planning?
Yeah, so I mean, like I mentioned, you know, my dad loved stocks. We talked about it all the time. It was one of the things we did a lot of when we were working together. And that was in 99 is when I started with that company, early in 2000 actually. So just within a year of working together with my dad, we got some bad news and found out that he was diagnosed with leukemia. So halfway through the year 2000, it became apparent that he wasn't coming back to work, and I ended up taking over his territory. So I ended up doing that for the next 15 years. But through that experience of him getting sick and then later passing in November of 2000, I learned a lot about advising, kind of as a what not to do. You know, my mom was a really young widow at that time, 53 years old when my dad passed. And I knew about stocks and investing, but financial planning was still a little foreign to me. So we met with some people and talked to some different advisors. And I knew enough to realize that the advice we were being given was not always in her best interest. So as my career progressed and medical sales wasn't a good fit for me anymore, I knew instantly I wanted to get back into advising because I had continued to have a love for it, but knew that it was important to me to have a really a client-first approach, mm-hmm. making sure that the client is getting the best information for them, and it's not an advisor just trying to sell something to somebody and making some money off them.
This is a perfect transition, because I was going to ask you, why do you think it's a good fit here at Peak?
Yeah, it is a good transition. You know, Nick, you and I began talking about this a couple months ago and trying to decide if there was an opportunity or a fit for us to work together. And included in that time was some shadowing and some conversations about how you approach financial advising and, you know, and is able to watch you interact with clients and see kind of the behind the scenes too, how you walk through your plans, where you put your priorities, and it was really positive for me to see that our thoughts on that lined up very closely. You know, it was very apparent right away that your client's needs are what's most important, and in the planning aspect of it, it's not what kind of investment can you put your client in, but what kind of investment does your client need to be in to meet their goals?
Yeah, what kind of investment strategy? There's never any one size fits all, right? You got to take everything into account and ask people what's important to you,
right?
What do you need to sleep well at night? Once we know what's important, then it's so much easier mm-hmm. to make good recommendations.
Yeah, and that philosophy lined up really well with my own, and it became really apparent that we were like-minded in our mm-hmm. approach. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, I had gotten to a point in my advising career where I was looking for some additional help and support, and realizing that we could combine those things together, and, you know, because you have a great system in place, a great infrastructure, a great model for servicing clients, and I was at a point where that was some of what I needed. So joining the team here at Peak really, really, truly, in my mind, was a win-win situation.
Yeah, I call it a Nash equilibrium. I think everyone wins, right?
I've heard that before, yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe I've said it too much. So I think that it's good for Peak and Peak's clients, and I think it's good for you and your clients. So that's the definition right there. It's Nash.
Absolutely, yep.
So You kind of mentioned it, you know, I was going to ask you, how do you think about money? How do you approach planning? But you said, you know, it's always with the clients first, that kind of fiduciary perspective, what's always in the client's best interest. But you want to touch on that? Any more light on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, having such an interest in advising back from my college days, or really even high school days, you know, and kind of being a do-it-yourselfer and wanting to make sure, I've always wanted to keep costs low. So that was another big appeal, really, to joining the team here, was the ability to really reduce costs for my clients, because, you know, they can eat away returns over time, and finding the lowest cost solutions.
So you're referring to the Ameritrade platform?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, being able to use the Ameritrade platform, where there's so many low cost investment options available. And
yeah, that's the whole more for less theme. We have access to more, more technology. I would say superior technology, excellent thought leadership, and ultimately less costs for the clients.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So that you know, so that's how I think about money, is how do you manage it prudently, cost effectively, taking on the appropriate amount of risk to achieve your goals.
Excellent. Well, I only have one more question for you, and it's very important. I already know the answer, but I want everyone else to know. When we were, you know, speaking with Jim and, you know, verifying that it was going to be a good fit, one of my questions was, are you a Michigan or a Michigan State fan? And so the answer is?
Go Blue.
I'm a Michigan fan. Yeah.
My wife went to school there, actually.
That's right.
From Michigan. Right about the same time you were there.
Yeah. Emily and I graduated in 2001, right?
Yep.
Same year.
Yep.
So there you have it. You have the Peak team adding one more Michigan Wolverine to the lineup. So now we're outnumbering the Michigan State 3-1. So it's a dominating victory here. So, Jim, welcome aboard. I'm so glad to have you as part of the team, and look forward to many years of success with the Nash Equilibrium.
Sounds great, Nick. Thank you very much. I'm excited to move forward and ready to really integrate everybody into the new platform here.
You've been listening to the Peak Financial Minute with Nick Hopwood. You can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes and the Android Marketplace, or by visiting www.peakwm.com. Peak Wealth Management is your premier wealth management partner. Plan, protect, peak. Securities offered through Regulus Advisors, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Peak Wealth Management, LLC, a state of Michigan registered investment advisor. Peak Wealth Management, LLC is independent of Regulus Advisors.